Class, welcome back to Bitcoin Kindergarten. This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're at block height 694,243, and the current price per Bitcoin is 39,360. So tonight we got our boy Bobo Dread at Pole Vault Dream on Twitter, and he's gonna come on and talk about Plebnet. So I'm super excited. I love Bobo. Met him a few times. And he's a real, real cool-ass dude. So this is going to be dope. Jestifer, as our in-house lightning guy, you want to say a few words before we just give the floor to Bobo?
Bobo is the real deal. A certified router. Lightning expert. So I'm very excited to hear from him and hear about Plebnet, this awesome community that started up recently.
Let's go. Bobo, floor is yours, yo. Bro.
What up, Bridgens? Well, go on. Jestifer, Optimus. Man, you guys know I've been on and off of Kindergarten since the beginning. I love this show. It is one of my favorites to just skip back and listen to without thinking about some kind of official, you know, big screen production thing. But I love how it's growing, man. I love it, for real.
Let's go. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, no problem, Bo. I mean, Dread, you know, I'm just a pleb, you know, I'm not more than anybody else. Matter of fact, funny story, long before Plebnet, Jestifer is the one that really showed me how to open up a channel the first time, and I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, I still sometimes feel like I don't know what I'm doing in Lightning as far as I've gotten. So big ups to Jestifer, first of all, for taking noobs like me and bringing us all the way. You know, I'm sure you're still doing it to this day.
Thanks, Bobo. Happy to do it.
Yeah, man. But yeah, since after that, Plebnet kind of came about just as naturally. Like, other people like Jestifer were out there just teaching, you know, giving away their time for free to learn how to use the Lightning Network. And it was a lot of people that were like, plebs, like, you know, not even technical plebs per se. We're talking about people on Clubhouse, you know, that came from other rooms, came from, you know, fashion design Clubhouse rooms or whatever, and they're coming in getting orange peeled and getting lightning peeled at the same time. So you know, that's kind of how Plebnet started. It was a bunch of people in a Clubhouse room that were trying to figure out how to use Lightning. People like D++, Rajwinder, Walton and P, like all of these people just had different experiences trying to learn how to, you know, make a node and open channels. And even before that, just passed Lightning custodially. And they started up a little Telegram group. It's always a little hazy as to who exactly started it or what group came first. And, you know, who cares, to be honest with you? Because it's like it all happened around the same time. And nobody's trying to basically claim Plebnet, which is the best part about it. Everyone, if you try to target them to say you started Plebnet or, you know, you were one of the main ones to bring it, they would back off and say, nah, it wasn't me. So I think that's the cool thing about it. It's like a town square where everyone just goes and jumps on Telegram or jumps on Clubhouse and asks stupid questions, you know, like, you know, exactly where am I supposed to plug this micro SD card in, or, you know, which one's better, even though it's not a dumb question, Raspi Blitz or Umbral? You know, I think you have Jestifer, he'll give you a different answer than others in the group chat. I love Raspi Blitz, honestly. I also love Umbral because it's easy. I also love Embassy because it's, you know, super self-sovereign. So everyone has their own different platform, which also makes it cool because there's no centralization on the platforms we're using on Plebnet either. There's no centralization whether you're using LND or C Lightning. You know, I haven't really heard anyone with an Eclair setup yet, but I'm sure in Plebnet Advanced they probably have them. But yeah, it's just a town square. And then it became a lot of fun when we decided to start memeing in the middle of educating people about, you know, routing paths and MPP and how to set up your channels. We started doing all these dank memes about, you know, girth and KYC jelly and, you know, sliding into noobs DMs to get them lightning pill and girth days. It's just funny. And it just kept the party going. That's the most I can say about Plebnet. But if you guys have questions, you know, let me know. I'm always here to help too, and I jump on whenever I can. I mean, we still live our lives, right? It's not like we're on Plebnet 24/7, but there's thousands of people in there now. I mean, I think we just crossed 3,000. So 24/7 from some country, somebody's on, just, you know, messing around and tinkering. And if you want to ask them questions, you can go to kycjelly.com to just jump in.
Awesome, dude. Well, we do have a few questions. First off, you brought up the KYC Jelly. What exactly do you guys do over there on that site?
It's just a forwarded site to the Telegram group. There's nothing else there. It was one of the memes that came up when we were talking about how Lightning, you know, despite what Shinobi says, even though he has some valid points, Lightning does provide you with an extra layer of privacy, right? The actual transaction isn't public on the blockchain unless you go digging further, like he said you would have to do. And you'd have to have nodes in between the route in order to be able to deterministically find it. So if you don't do all of that, you know, if you're just trying to do regular chain analysis on the main chain, you get that privacy protection. So we were talking about how, you know, we're getting away from KYC, and then, you know, some joke came around about, you know, it being easier, Lightning being easier because there's no KYC. It's like KYC jelly. I always fuck this joke up. Sorry, guys, but that's how the URL came about. So you just go to kycjelly.com, and it redirects you to Plebnet, where you just get dropped in the room with 3,000 plebs just talking about Lightning and channels and shit.
Let's go. I'm glad you brought up Shinobi, because I saw his article that he dropped yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. And I have this question here that it came up. But what do you say to the people that are skeptical about Lightning routing as a hobby, or the plebs routing on Lightning isn't feasible? Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot. First, I'll say, you know, I've been listening to Shinobi's show for a long time, Block Digest, and I always get a lot of good information about privacy and vulnerabilities and stuff. And I think that having an adversarial mind towards this is good. More people like him that, you know, actually challenge what's happening is a good thing, both for Bitcoin and for the Lightning Network, right? So have at it, you know, keep coming at us. But at the same time, we're plebs, man. So, you know, fuck your feelings. Like, we do whatever we want, you know? Like, it's the Lightning, it's Bitcoin's ethos is on the Lightning Network. So if a pleb wants to run a node for a hobby, if a pleb wants to run a node and be profitable, like Erin is, if you follow Erin on Twitter, she listed step by step the way she can become profitable. And many other plebs inside of Plebnet are becoming profitable now with their nodes too, tracking them on reports, seeing the stats come through. So I think that if you do it as a hobby, that's great because you want to learn, but it doesn't mean you have to lose money to do it as a hobby. It's sustainable. Now, more to Shinobi's point, there is going to be incentives for big companies to come in and try to do it. And there, you might think, oh, well, that might squeeze out the little man because, you know, now the big companies are going to try and corner the market. Sure, but I still don't give a fuck. Like, we're plebs and we can run a node if we want to. You know, the Bitcoin ethos is that Michael Saylor can have $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. That still doesn't affect the X amount of Bitcoin I have, because my Bitcoin is still going to be my Bitcoin and it's still going to be worth what it's worth. And it's the same thing with my node. My Lightning node is my Lightning node. And if I want to route payments to El Salvador every day, I don't give a fuck what other company is doing it. I can still do it for them. And I can do it for them for free if I want to. And I can route payments between El Salvador and Jamaica for free if I want to. Why? Because I have a node. So I have the ability to do so, regardless of whether the big company wants to do it as well. All I have to do then is just free market, baby, challenge me for fees. Let's go. Now, in terms of the other attacks, he's right. We have to really step up the security on that. And I'm hoping that, you know, we're building, we're continuing to build, we're continuing to change HTLCs to PTLCs, and, you know, we can get that kind of extra layers of security and use multipath payment more often than not, you know, so we can get that extra layer of obfuscation. But, you know, we're still plebs. We're going to do what we do. So, you know, help us build it or get the fuck out the way.
Let's go. What's your thoughts on the future of Lightning? Like, how do you see the future of Lightning? Because I don't know if you read that article that Shinobi wrote, but he said, I think he wrapped up the article by saying something. And Jestifer, you could jump in here too, because I know you're the Lightning guy, and that's your forte as well. But he ended the article by saying something on the lines of, Lightning as it is a toy, and we can't kid ourselves to believe that the future is going to be run on this toy project that we're so excited about. I butchered the exact words, but that's the gist. So, Bobo, what's your thoughts on that? And then personally, what's your thoughts on the future of Lightning?
Yeah, I would say I do think that it is good to raise an alarm, if that's what Shinobi's doing, to say that Lightning is not ready for nation state attacks yet. It's good to raise an alarm about that if he thinks that's true. You know, the way to raise an alarm would be shock value, like saying, you know, it's a toy for friends. It's a good old boys club, and everybody that runs a node over there knows each other. Well, I don't know 3,000 people on Telegram that just joined in. Most of these people are joining to my node, and I have no idea who they are, you know? So it's not a toy for friends. It's a proven business case of layer two solution on top of Bitcoin, on top of Bitcoin's blockchain, that a nation state of 5 million people decided to make legal tender. Not because of the Bitcoin network by itself, because of the Bitcoin network and Lightning on top of it as a layer two solution. That's why they decided to make themselves legal tender. A country wouldn't use a toy to make a money legal tender. So characterizing it as such is disingenuous. However, I understand the shock value of saying, if this thing is going to be legal tender across multiple countries, and if this thing needs to be able to withstand adversarial attacks at that level, we definitely need to upgrade it past the point that it is right now. But that's like looking at a big Dodge truck with a Hemi and saying we need more of a military vehicle, but it's not a bicycle. You know, don't act like this thing hasn't come a long way already, because it has. And I'm proud of it. And I think, to your point, to your question about where it's going to be in the future, unless something better comes along, bro, I think Lightning is the future of Bitcoin payments. You know, I feel like that's the way we're going to be able to say all other, you know, business case or use cases for sending payments on any type of network is, you know, they're behind the curve right now. Like, Lightning is so far ahead that once we secure up the different attack vectors that it has and continue to create tools for it and generalize it, I see it taking over all the networks in terms of what, you know, Visa used to try and do, or MasterCard, or anything else, or any of the shit coins that tried to say they had faster transaction fees or lower times to process, or whatever the fuck they always come up with. I really feel like this is the shitcoin killer. This is the real shitcoin killer.
Bullish. Thoughts, Jessifer? Or you could plead the fifth.
I love what Bobo said. You know, maybe, and I also really appreciate, you know, Shinobi's article to raise some alarms, because there's a lot of things that still need work on Lightning. It's not a mature network. It's still very new. However, you know, if it's a toy, it's a 2100 Bitcoin toy. And the competitors to the Lightning Network are Visa and the other payment processors. You know, Bitcoin's already a better payment network, even without Lightning. But But now that we have Lightning, we're having instant settlement or near instant settlement that can happen across borders at many times cheaper than Visa can process a domestic credit card transaction. So Shinobi was also talking about declining yields for people that are using or trying to like earn a return on their investment in Bitcoin terms. And plebs are totally capable of doing that. Now, looking forward, if our yields are going down, that means the cost of transactions for regular people are also going down. So that just means that the competitors to the Lightning Network are going to suffer. They're going to be underpriced at an even greater rate. And the Lightning Network doesn't care what fiat currency is at the end of either of these transactions. Just by its nature, it's a better technology to have near instant settlement anywhere in the world or even off planet.
Bullish.
Yeah, I was going to add to that too, Justifer, since you mentioned the cross-border part, because that's, to me, one of the most bullish factors of all of it, right? It's that, to your point, there's going to be incentive for companies to want to try and get yield from these routing nodes that they can create. And it's not going to be just Visa and MasterCard, right? Even though they're huge, it's also going to be companies like Western Union that collect between, you know, 5 to 15, sometimes 25% in some regions of the world off of a payment that's being sent. Companies like MoneyGram, you know, and TransferWise, and the Swift banking system, even, like all of these places that are gouging people with fees and long wait times to get their value across borders, they're going to be struggling too. They're not going to be able to keep up their business case when people can send across the Lightning Network for less than a penny. And what they're going to want to do then is co-opt the Lightning Network, right? They're going to want to say, all right, well, let's try and use the Lightning Network to send payments instantly for people who, you know, might not be as technologically sound, or they might not jump onto the network early enough. They might see a bridge to say, let's still try and make some money since the fiat system is gone. And they're going to struggle because of what you just said, right? The more competition out there, the lower the fees go. It's a race to zero. So even the even them co-opting it is still not going to have them keep this current level of profit that they have right now in the fiat system. And that's going to force them to shrink, if not die. If they survive, they're going to become very lean, and then they become very customer service friendly. And I think that's a good thing overall, you know. But personally, based on what, you know, Western Union and MoneyGram has done to the region over these past several decades, I hope they completely burn and crumble. Fire and lightning and thunder. I hope they crumble to the ground and nobody uses them anymore. And we all use free and open source software to do all of our transactions going forward.
Let's go. Yeah, that was bullish, bro.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. You kind of put, so Jesper and Bobo, correct me if I'm wrong here, if this is a bad analogy, but you reminded me of what Jeff Booth talked about in Price of Tomorrow when he was saying that Blockbuster got run out by Netflix and all they could do was add like bigger candy aisles in their store. And then if we zoom out a little longer, we're getting to the point where now YouTube is becoming one of the biggest entertainment platforms on in the world, and it's user focused. You know, it's DIY content by plebs essentially. And so the idea that, yeah, maybe there will be big corporate competitors out there in the Lightning Network, but I think in a long enough time span, you will still get the DIY pleb users out there that will be able to compete, as we're seeing in media. And I know media and finances are a little different platforms, but it just seems that in human psychology, you know, like the plebs will find a way. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting through PlebNet, that like, yeah, you know, the PlebNet will succeed in some form into the future, considering that you guys have all the connections right now. You know, you guys are the neuron right now connecting everything. And it's, I just see that maybe, you know, it does seem like corporations will come in and take a big chunk of the pie, but there will be a place for the solid pleb routing nodes out there. I don't know. Was that a bad analogy, or am I just huffing too much smoke over here?
Well, I mean, I always defer to Justifer in terms of exactly, you know, how it would work in terms of centrality, or, you know, if a bigger node can actually take over or impact us. But honestly, PlebNet's so big already, it looks like a corporation. You know, like, there's a lot of Bitcoin routing through PlebNet, and it's, even if I just think it's decentralized enough for the plebs not to care. I think that it's going to keep on growing. If you look at the chart, I can actually put the chart at some point and show you guys. If you look at the chart, it's just a big old web of nodes that continues to just, you know, pop in new ones every minute on the outskirts, and have routes that are available. So I really don't see how, because they can't shut down the nodes, I really don't see how they would be able to compete otherwise. You know, I mean, again, the one factor that we need to consider all the time is the privacy attack vector, where they'd be able to take people's information and sell it or do worse things with it. So I'll always harp on that we want to continue to stay vigilant, you know, continue to make sure that we're protecting the plebs and protecting each other and protecting ourselves, really, because if you think about it in a sovereign way, each one of us, we're a red or white blood cell. So as long as you protect your cell, you have your membrane intact, then you have the whole network strong. You know, like, the incentive, greed is good in this case. The incentive you have to make sure your node is good is the incentive to make the same incentive to make the entire network strong. But I'll defer to Justifer on whether or not I'm missing anything there.
I'm curious. You've been on the Lightning Network for quite a while now. Do you feel threatened by the big nodes that are on the Lightning Network? Do you feel threatened by the existence of Ellen Big, for example? Or do you feel like they're taking a disproportionate amount of the routing?
No, actually. When I look at Ellen Big and I look at other big nodes out there that are incentivizing people to connect to them and incentivizing people to route through them, I still don't see them taking any share of routing from any other node that decides to connect to, you know, other good nodes out there. Like, the majority of nodes out there on the network are public, right? You can connect to them even if they're behind Tor. You can connect to them, but if you can find them, and once you find them, you can set your own fees. You know, it's a fair playing field, whether you are Ellen Big or you are, you know, Joe's Crab Shack node down the street, or, well, I guess Joe's Crab Shack might be a big node in the future too. Like, you know, a Pupusa node in El Salvador, you're connected to the exact same network. And if you connect to the same other nodes, then you have an equal chance of a route passing through you. The one thing I will say that is different would be girth. So if a big node like Ellen Big opens up huge channels and you have a small channel of, let's say, I don't know, 1 million sats or 100,000 sats even, then the frequency of you hitting a route hitting you is going to be less, because somebody might be wanting to route 250,000 sats and your channel is not big enough to handle that route. So they either pass it on to a different route, or you might be one of many in MPP that gets used, right? So you're still participating in that way. So I just feel like, and as things like that build out, I feel like it's not really going to matter whether you're big or small. I think it'll be a fair game theory playing out. And if you want, just like mining right now, if you want to, you know, spin up a miner in your garage, plug it into the washing machine outlet and join a pool, you can, and you'll be profitable. You know, no matter what huge mining facility is out there mining on a volcano, you can still do it with one miner in your garage. And I feel like Nightlight Network is very similar to that.
I agree 100%. We've like just the plebs have a unique network that some of the one big node like Ellen Big, like they won't be able to access the unique connections that you'll be able to make on the Lightning Network. And I see that as a huge strength just for the small players. You know, these little plebs on the network, they're going to have their unique connections. And that's what gives it strength.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that. That's such a good point.
Yeah, Bobo, yeah. That's the first thing I thought when Jesper was telling me about PlebNet. I'm like, what is PlebNet? And he's like, yeah, it's just a bunch of plebs like having interconnections between each other and going to, you know, what they think are the most profitable areas on Lightning. I'm like, oh shit, the plebs out there are creating the highways for some stuff that no other node out there would have. And I'm like, dang, like I tell them all the time, I'm like, shit, I need to get on this.
Bobo,
hold on. Yeah. Before you go, Jesper, Bobo, show us the graph and so I can put it on the screen for people, and then Jesper, continue.
And I would love to know, what is your node setup? What's your way to transact on this Lightning Network?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Bobo Dread in the comment. We built these.
I tried to send my screen me out.
Let's go.
I might just send you the. I'm gonna send you the link in the chat, because if I send you the link in the chat, you can just pull it up yourself too and play with it. It's pretty fucking cool.
Okay, I'll put it in the description and in the YouTube chat.
Okay, cool. To answer your question, I think your question was what's my setup, Jesper?
Yeah.
All right. Honestly, I heard that you had a Raspberry Pi 4 gig. I got a Raspberry Pi 8 gig. I think at the time, I didn't really know how much, you know, processing power and memory this node was going to take up. So I tried to get, you know, one with the most, especially when I was looking at it, Umbral had like all these different apps on there that you could download and mess around with. So I was like, all right, maybe I should get something that can handle, you know, decent apps like an iPhone. So I got the Raspberry Pi 8 gig, got a 1 terabyte SSD and an industrial grade 32 gig micro SD card. And, you know, got it on a UPS and plugged in with the regular standard fan on the top of it in a Raspberry Pi case. It looks pretty boring, to be honest. If you look at it, it's nothing special. And then just got it in a cool place, in a secure location, undisclosed. And I always access it via Tor unless I'm there. So the last time I was there, I actually crashed it because I was changing my alias too much. But yeah, it's just a regular pleb node, man. Nothing special. There's no Fort Knox. It's just safe.
Bobo.
I mean, it's Fort Knox in terms of the cryptographic security, of course. I just mean, you know, it's not like it's not like in a bank or anything.
I'm glad you brought up the 8 gig, because I asked Jesper last week on his Raspberry Pi Blitz presentation, does the 8 gig, there's a lot of space left over, huh? I'm guessing that the little Raspberry Pi node doesn't need that much RAM on there.
Yeah, I just for you can chime in too, but honestly, it starts to get up there. Like, I have over 80 channels now. My node setup is pretty similar to Jesper in terms of the amount of channels. I don't know how much girth he has, but I do know that it gets kind of up there when I look at the memory usage, especially if a lot of things are happening. Like, I guess people are trying to route or HTTP. I don't know really how it works in terms of the log, but when I look at it, it seems to be running at about 75% capacity.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe but I mean, like I said, I installed everything. I installed everything. Okay. So, okay. And I have a bunch of extensions on LNBits, and I messed around with the LN with the conf file, you know, basically kind of overclocking it, I guess you could say. So yeah, I'm pushing the limits on what they can do so far with Umbral.
All right. Awesome. That's good to hear. Okay, so we have a few questions left, and then we'll go into Skeef's questions. So prepare yourself. But Jestifer, you brought up Bobo's work in a Bitcoin Beach wallet and the community custodial wallet. So, Bobo, do you want to talk about that a little bit and what your experiences are in El Salvador and what do you think? You know, what have you learned down there?
Yeah, man, no problem. El Salvador, oh man. So I've been on there twice now. I actually just came from there this past weekend for the second time. And the first time was before the whole legal tender announcement, because I was really going down there to check out, you know, how similar they are to Jamaica and what we can do in Jamaica to start something just like they started. And the first time, some people were using Wallet of Satoshi, which is what I expected from when I was you know, kind of stalking them online from Jamaica years ago. But then they had the Bitcoin Beach wallet as well. And of course, Strike too, when they were down there. But when I used the Bitcoin Beach wallet, and they explained to me that it wasn't just full custodial, it was kind of an Uncle Jim model where, you know, the custodian could be down the street, you know, or the custodian could be up by Hope House. So you kind of had, you could have direct access to a localized person that's running your node that your community wallet is being run on, you know? So I thought that was awesome. And when I used it, it was super simple. It was, you know, just like any other regular wallet. You open it up, you have your balance, you send and receive, you know, that's it. And then they added a couple extra cool things of a map that on the map, it showed you the GPS location with the pin drop of every store in the area accepting Bitcoin. So you could walk around and just look on the map and walk up to a store and you know that they accept Bitcoin because it's on the map on your phone, kind of like bringing Pokemon Go. You know, it's pretty cool. But of course, they also had Bitcoin signs on the stores, like you guys probably saw in the videos. So it was, you know, but if you're like going out, like if I was going down to Tunco in the beach town, 15 minutes down from Bitcoin Beach, I could just find on the map which stores accept Bitcoin and go eat there, you know, or go buy drinks there, or go get some cash from that store or something like that if I needed it. So it was really cool to see the implementation. I won't go too deep in the technical part of it because I don't know that much about it. I just started digging into the GitHub code because it's, you guys know, it's open source, which means, you know, anyone can go and contribute to the code. They have a million different things they're trying to improve on it right now. Their language pack is almost done. And they're also, you know, doing this entire upgrade to it, you know, to provide more functionality since El Salvador needs it now, because since they're going full legal tender and the deadline for that is September 7th for all businesses to start accepting Bitcoin if they technically can. A lot of institutions like banks and even small businesses down there are hustling to get a wallet that they can use to accept Bitcoin with. And Bitcoin Beach seems to be one of the ones that are positioning themselves to really be a nice secondary solution to the Chivo wallet. Because I don't even know if the Chivo wallet is going to be ready, to be honest with you. I didn't really see any progress of it down there. There was no pilots happening. I don't really know what's... I heard through secondhand that Strike is no longer, or is not the one that is helping them to build it, or you know, the development lead on that. So I don't really know what the story is there, but I just know that on September 7th, people are going to want to use something, and Bitcoin Beach Wallet is already there, ready to go, along with Strike and everything else that's open source that they can use. But Bitcoin Beach is made specifically for El Salvador, and it's made specifically so that if a business wants to run, wants to accept Bitcoin and Lightning, they can do so in almost a non-custodial fashion with their own node sitting in their own building. And that's awesome, you know, for a company to have that I'll be able to set up for them without needing to know anything about the Lightning Network. That being said, since it's open source, of course, I'm very strongly considering and looking into forking it for my country as well. So, you know, if all goes well, hopefully I'll have a nice little version of that to show the Jamaicans so we can also do the same thing. And I know other countries are out there trying to do the same thing. I think Fode is trying to do the same thing for Senegal. You know, it's just the way it's supposed to be. This is the way.
Epic, dude. Okay, so let's jump into Skeeve's questions. One of them's trolley. We'll leave that one for the end. But his question is, why are you excited about the PlebNet being built with Lightning nodes? And he's selfishly asking because he just loves hearing this.
Oh, Skeeve. Okay, so, well, why am I excited about PlebNet being built with Lightning nodes? Because Lightning is friendship, and friendship is magic, and we're using magic internet money. So if you have a Lightning node with somebody, you've made a Bitcoinized friend with them that you can immediately and instantly across borders without anyone stopping you and without anyone defrauding you, be able to transact true scarce value between that person. That's a friend, if you ask me. I don't have to trust you. I don't have to know you. I don't have to even, you know, see you or understand what you're saying to me. I can pass that value back and forth to you and you back to me trustlessly without me worrying about being screwed out of it. That's a friend. And like I said, friendship is magic. And we're using magic internet money here. So, you know, as PlebNet builds out to become the PlebNet will become just the Lightning Network because we're all plebs. So that's the way I see it, and that's why I'm bullish about it.
Ooh, bullish. I like that. PlebNet will just be the Lightning Network because we're all plebs. Wisdom. Okay. Another Skeeve question. You have interviewed and met a lot of Bitcoiners from a lot of countries. Which country/places are you currently the most bullish on and why?
Skeeve with the bangers. I would have said El Salvador, mainly because of the excitement around what they just did. But I don't know, man, they have some tough competition. Places that not necessarily visited. Some of them I have, but some of them I just interviewed people or talked to people there. The countries in Africa are blowing my mind right now. Nigeria is a country that I just think, I honestly think that they're probably already more on a mental Bitcoin standard than even El Salvador. The population average age there is a 26-year-old, and the guys there and the girls there are hungry. And they are working, and they are finding all the different loopholes to make this work for them, even if they're not like in the media spotlight yet. So, I think Nigeria and then a lot of other African countries are going to be, you know, on top of this a lot faster than everybody else. I'm bullish about them, but I'm also bullish on most of South and Central America. I think that momentum is a thing, especially in policy. And, you know, even though the U.S. is kind of doing all kind of gymnastics and backflips about what's legal, what's not legal right now and scaring the shit out of people, you know, that's much more of an American, you know, Americanized way of thinking. Because, yes, there's a lot of money and freedoms at stake there. But honestly, if you go and ask the average person in Guatemala, they have a whole different purpose on why they're defending Bitcoin. You know, they have a whole different reason on why they think Bitcoin works, you know, and they have a whole different perspective on whether or not they can use it based on what the government says. Like, they don't really give a fuck what the government's saying. They're going to use Bitcoin, full stop, period, no matter what law they make, no matter what, you know, no matter who goes up there and talks about what, you know, infrastructure bill might become, whatever. They don't give a fuck. Like, they're going to use Bitcoin because their life depends on it sometimes, you know, and that's a whole different conversation to have. So I'm bullish about that whole area, but then, of course, most than anything else, like, number one that is always eternal to me in my heart in terms of what I'm going to be bullish about. Sorry, the country I'm going to be bullish on is Mayad, Jamaica. Like, we are, we're 70% of people that have no banks, just like El Salvador. We are 21% of people that are under the poverty line, just like El Salvador. We have 20% of our remittances coming in. Sorry, the remittance that comes into our country is 20% of our GDP. In El Salvador, is 21% of their GDP. Like, we have so many metrics that line up with El Salvador in terms of why Bitcoin is perfect for us. 95% of, no, not even 95, because that's like not counting the second phones. 115% of people in Jamaica have cell phones. You know, the real number is more like 95, but a lot of people have two cell phones. We adopt technology just like that. So I'm bullish on Jamaica because I think that, you know, once the right people pay attention and they realize that, you know, what's working for El Salvador can work for us, man, strap in gradually, then suddenly.
Let's go. Bullish.
Jamaica.
Let's go. Okay. This is Skeef's last question. Strap yourself in. He goes, why is Joe Rogers a Chihuahua maximalist, and what does that say about his character? Nothing good, of course, but I would like specifics.
So I've thought long and hard about this. I took the pilgrimage down to the Rogers Citadel and had an intimate interaction with a little, you know, what I would consider to be demon spawn that they had down there. This little cute little Chihuahua that, you know, I could see it, how it easily, you know, tries to steal your heart and then rip it out and crush it. So I think that those dogs are evil. I think that Joe Rogers liking Chihuahuas and thinking they're maximalists makes him against freedom. And I think that, you know, Joe should be ashamed of himself and he should really consider his actions the next time he decides to talk about dogs in general, because Chihuahuas are, you know, like, other dogs' lives matters.
Chihuahuas are rats, let's be honest. Oh, man. Hey, that
honestly, I love that dog, though. That dog is cool.
That was beautiful. Okay, the last two questions I have, and then I'll see if anyone has some more. But one, how do plebs join PlebNet, and how can users help PlebNet?
Yeah, to join PlebNet, I mean, you jump in the Telegram group. If you want to get there the you know, corporate or PG way, you can just go to plebnet.org. And once you jump in, I think they'll ask you to, like, you know, add it, like one of those spam things will ask you what's 7 + 5 or some easy math question like that. And then you just jump in, say hi. You know, all the rules will be there. Not even rules, but just all the instructions on what you can do next will be there, and somebody will be talking to you. If you want to do it the more exciting way, you know, you want to slide in, you just go to kycjelly.com and it'll take you to the same place. But that's really it. There's no entry fee. There's no, you know, knowledge you have to have first. All you need is an internet connection and access to Telegram. And people will walk you through step by step from there. There are layers to it, I will say. So if you are more of a technically adept person, like, you know, you like command line and you like to tinker with Raspberry Blitz a lot more than Umbral, or, you know, you build your node, your core from scratch with LND, then, you know, you can jump into the PlebNet Advanced group. Or if you just want to do custodial only, we have a PlebNet Lightning 101 group. And if you actually run a node and you're not just learning, because the PlebNet group, the main group, it's people that are just learning, right? Some of them not running nodes yet. But then there's a PlebNet node runners group where everyone in there has a node connected to the network. So, you know, a lot more node question and answer things happen there, where the people in the beginning might be asking about setting up a Raspberry Pi or, you know, what hardware to buy. So it's different levels. But once you go to plebnet.org or kycjelly.com, that's your landing point. And then from there, Have fun, man. Ask questions. You're in PlebNet.
Let's go. Girth is good. Guys.
Girth is good.
Girth is good. If anyone in the class has some questions, ask them now or forever hold your peace. And if not, then we'll let Bobo shill some of his stuff and we'll call it a night. So, guys, unmute yourself if a question has came to your mind. Winicus asks, when moon, Bobo?
I think Mercury has to be in retrograde. So if you look at the stars to the left, I have no idea. I never try to predict price because, you know, it's designed to pump forever. So everything else is just a speed bump in the meantime.
Beautiful. Okay. So I guess Bobo, just shill some of your wares. Tell them about your website and all that good stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, man. I'm terrible at shilling, so, you know, bear with me because I've been, just to your point, traveling and meeting people and interviewing them about Bitcoin, but just plebs. So if you go to onelovebitcoin.com, you'll see a podcast I'm putting out where I'm just trying to talk to one person from everywhere in the world. It's become a very enlightening experience for me because I thought it would be, you know, oh yeah, let's talk about your country and how's Bitcoin over there. And I'm realizing that I'm finding out and I'm educating myself on a lot of things I didn't know that was happening around the world. And man, I thought that I was, you know, traveled enough to really understand the state the world is in, but it's a scary place out there, man. It's like the kids are not all right. You know, like the more I learn, the more I realize that every single thing you fight for in America and the things we even take for granted sometimes in America are being constantly fought for out there in the real world. And I've realized that this is my chance to kind of tell that story, you know, kind of tell the story of all the different places that we don't have freedom, you know, all the different places that, you know, people are living a lot more like Ross, you know, locked up, Ross Ulbricht locked up versus being free. So I'm just going to use what I have to talk to them and, you know, get those stories out there and, you know, see how they interact with Bitcoin and see how Bitcoin can fix it. And at the same time, if you, I'll say this here for the first time because I usually keep it a secret, but for every episode that I do, there's going to be a faucet in the middle of the episode. So if you watch it, you'll see a QR code and then you can just get some free sats from it. Usually, as I target different countries to interview somebody, I'll try to get that person's audience from that country to watch it and get those sats. So, you know, we're spreading sats all over the world. But that's kind of what I'm doing, onelovebitcoin.com. And then I'll be doing a lot of other different editions of it. Like I'll have a dirt bag edition where it's just me and a dirt bag riffing out, you know, like I have some episodes already recorded with Skeef and with Surfer Jim and a couple others. So those will be the nice cool ones where you learn about those guys and have some and see what Dirtbags are all about. Dirtbags is my family, Dirtbags for life, you know, and and then some other ones too with traveling. So, you know, just doing my thing. So, and if you want to check me out on Twitter, it's polevaultdream.com. One love, yo.
Let's go. Awesome, Bobo. Well, you know, I love you, bro. And I'm glad you came out. That was epic. I'm starting to feel the FOMO. I've been saying that I'm going to get a note up, but now I think I'm about to go actually do it this week. So shouts out to you guys. Shouts out to
PlebNet. Let's fucking go.
And yeah, you know, probably see you on Dirtbag real soon, bro. But thanks for coming out, dude. We truly appreciate it. And like always, bro, come join us on Kindergarten. Come shoot the shit. We love you. And just continue killing it, bro. You're doing some big, big things out there. And for those people listening, Girth is good. Go run some nodes. Go listen to One Love Bitcoin. Go use Lightning. You can send us tips and you can show us it's not a toy. And go hit up freaking Bobo's faucet. Like, let's go. That's epic, dude. That's honestly doing Satoshi's work over there. That's really cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks to everyone listening. Thanks for everyone in the chat. Thanks for everyone in the classroom. And we'll see you next week, guys. This is Optimus Fields, and we're out. Peace out, yo. Woo.